Good evening and welcome to the 7 p.m. news with Elizabeth Mbombone Agbo. In our top stories, the Senate recommends a bill on local taxation to be tabled during the November session at the opening of the third ordinary session, while aligning the state budget to the aspirations of the Cameroonian people's needs was a major recommendation given by the Speaker of the National Assembly as he chaired the plenary. Cameroon joins in observing the World Pneumonia Day today on the theme "Every Breath Counts, Stop Pneumonia" in its track. In that segment of the news focuses on the causes and symptoms of pneumonia. In the meantime, all is apparently set for the 9th edition of the National Games this year to take place in Yaoundé from the 11th to the 21st of December. Those were our major stories. Now the news in greater detail. The Speaker of the National Assembly, the Right Honorable Kavayege Jibril, sees a state budget which consolidates the country's achievements and reflects the aspiration of the Cameroonian people's needs to be in line with the head of state's development agenda. He was speaking this morning at the opening plenary of the November budgetary session. Parliamentary Affairs correspondent Doris Bate Tatoikwe has a presentation of the Speaker's speech.
A dense and elaborate address it was, with pertinent issues brought to the fore. Being a budgetary session, emphasis was laid on how to deliberate on the draft finance bill for next year, which will be tabled before the people's representatives in the days ahead for scrutiny. The Right Honorable Kavayege Jibril reminded all that policy options and priorities of the 2025 state budget are enshrined in a circular signed by the head of state recently. As the lawmakers get to work, they have been advised to seek to consolidate achievements, further earn the confidence of the populace, and spur Cameroonians to massively endorse the vision of the head of state. Given that 2025 is earmarked for presidential elections, the House Speaker has called on government to do the necessary to ensure a peaceful atmosphere, rejoicing in the country's assets, which inspire robust growth. He vaunted the gains of the National Development Strategy, which have recorded strides in the import substitution policy. The National Assembly also salutes the aggressive industrial policy of the mining sector, which has made it possible to switch from cottage to industrial mining, granting job opportunities for the youth, a policy that could be replicated in the building materials sector. The remarkable increase witnessed in the production of cocoa in Cameroon was also highlighted by the Speaker as a boost to the agricultural sector. Meanwhile, corruption gradually creeping in must be combated as cocoa farmers get incentives. Also, government has been exhorted to develop adequate infrastructure in order to solve the problem of inadequate power supply. Issues of special concern, such as the issuance of birth certificates, urban disorder, averting catastrophes, and universal healthcare delivery, were raised by the Right Honorable Kavayege Jibril at today's opening plenary.
The Senate has recommended that a bill on local taxation be tabled during the November ordinary session so as to enable local and regional authorities forge ahead with local developments. This alongside the condemnation of some social ills and uncivic behavior of some citizens are the major highlights of the speech delivered on behalf of Senate President by the first Vice President, His Majesty Abubakari Abdullahi, as he officially opened the third ordinary session. Just after the opening plenary at the Senate, Doris Bate Tatoikwe talked to Senators Mbela Moki Charles and Vanigasen Mochingo, who now lay bare their plans for the November session.
I'm carrying the dreams and the aspirations of the people of the Southwest region into this session, hoping that I am going to articulate in a manner that will cause government and all the stakeholders of the budgetary process to address the needs and expectations of the people of the Southwest region. We are going to hit hard on the road network deteriorating situation in the Southwest region, which has been cause of concern from our electorate and, in fact, the citizenry of the Southwest region. I will want to highlight the abandonment of the Boya Reference Hospital and, of course, look at other areas which have to do with economic empowerment of our populations and the realization and reawakening of the major state corporations in the Southwest region that have been suffering from a near state of abandonment. The realization of major projects like the much talked about Tiko Airport and the Limbe Deep Sea Port.
Senator Vanegansi Mochigal, representing the Northwest region. Going by my own observation and a national poll, people will want the roads, because the state of our roads in the cities and intercities are horrible. They can concentrate on the roads. It will help the population, because when the roads are passable, it's easier for people to evacuate their economic products into the markets.
Away from parliamentary affairs, the Minister of Housing and Urban Development, Celestine Kecha-Cortez, has launched the PDVIR project aimed at developing inclusive and resilient cities. The project, valued at over 7 billion CFA francs, targets a 5-kilometer stretch of road covering the Zileng and Orochede neighborhoods in Marwa One Council. Fate Nguang reports from Sierra Tubifano.
Marwa welcomes the PDV project aimed at developing inclusive and resilient cities, with neighborhoods like Ziling and Uruchede set to benefit most. This 7.5 billion franc CFA initiative, focusing on essential roadworks, has raised hopes amongst residents who have already seen the impact of the C2D project.
Je suis très content.
I am very happy. Before we had no roads, now there is no dust. We are happy. We used to suffer a lot with dust here. The road is well tarred and our business is booming. We thank the government.
At the launch, Minister Celestine Kecha-Cortez pledged to monitor the work like milk on the fire, ensuring timely completion. A performance contract with contractors supports the 6 months target. The minister also visited some C2D sites and inaugurated the Kakatare Road stretch in Marwa, underscoring the government's commitment to improve living conditions. Marwa, Faith Nguang, CRTV.
Here now is Minister Celestine Kecha-Cortez, who in the following excerpt throws more light on the various aspects of the Inclusive and Resilient Cities Development Project launched today. Take a listen.
Last time I was here with the ambassador of France, and we've launched the road with BCR for 24 billion francs CFA. We have visited yesterday and I'm happy on how the work are going on and will be completed. Marwa will have a special room for festivity, Salle Polyvalente. Marwa will have a new market. Marwa will have new road. Marwa will take the tour for sustainable development. And today is 7.5 billion that we are launching here. That's why I've signed a performance contract with all the company who have been awarded. I will not accept any delay. And I'm sure that next 6 months, I will be back for the inauguration, as we're going to do this evening for Kakatare Road.
The Minister of Agriculture and Rural Development, Gabriel Mbairobe, says the IFAD program will be extended in the agriculture sector before it ends in 2026. He was interviewed by Ngu Henry.
The program will end in 2026, and we want to see and to highlight the major achievement and to think about the future. You know that IFAD is working on building the capacity of small-scale farmers, and they are targeting especially women and young people in order to make them create business in agriculture, in livestock, and in fishery. And we think that we are satisfied with all which have been done till now, and we are looking forward to set up new projects in agriculture, in livestock, especially in aquaculture.
A campaign to elevate tourism and leisure establishments in the country to international standards has been launched in Yaoundé. Minister Bello Buba Maigari, in the following excerpt of an interview, emphasizes the need for an amelioration of tourist establishments.
Because of our so many attractiveness, has also the duty to perfect, ameliorate the quality of services to be able to attract more and more tourists, conferences, and to give enough satisfaction to all visitors of our country. This is why we have been this seminar, which will be also the launching part of the classification or reclassification of touristic establishments.
Minister Bello Buba Maigari speaking there. He was interviewed by FOC Babatunde. In the meantime, the African Synergy Against AIDS will carry out a sensitization campaign from the 20th to the 27th of November to celebrate the 37th edition of the World AIDS Day that is celebrated on the 1st of December. The awareness campaign will feature educative talks and the broadcast of a special TV program on the airwaves of CRTV. And on to our in-depth segment of the news. Health experts warn that pollution exposure to smoke, amongst others, are favorable factors to cause pneumonia. They, however, underline that the disease that attacks mostly kids, the elderly people with weakened immune system, is preventable if the environment is healthy. FOC Babatunde throws more light.
Pneumonia, the lung infection that can be life-threatening, is often caused or worsened by environmental risk factors. Health experts warn that pollution, poor air quality, exposure to tobacco smoke, and crowded living conditions increase the likelihood of contracting pneumonia. This is especially true in young children, the elderly, and those with weakened immune systems. Preventing pneumonia starts with addressing these environmental risks. Reducing indoor air pollution by avoiding open fires or smoking indoors can help lower the risk. Regular ventilation and using clean fuels for cooking are also important. Additionally, vaccinations, including the pneumococcal and the flu vaccines, play a key role in prevention. Practicing good hygiene, like frequent hand washing and avoiding crowded places when possible, can further reduce exposure to bacteria and viruses that cause pneumonia. Health authorities emphasize that addressing both environmental factors and preventive measures is crucial to lowering pneumonia cases, especially in vulnerable groups.
The global burden of pneumonia is significant, with millions of cases reported annually. Treatment depends on the cause of the infection. Bacterial pneumonia is often treated with antibiotics, while viral pneumonia may require antiviral medications or supportive care. Patients Wingo comments.
Pneumonia remains a leading cause of illness and health worldwide, with health experts urging a stronger focus on prevention and early treatment. As cases of respiratory infections rise, medical professionals are emphasizing the critical role of vaccination, proper hygiene, and timely medical intervention in reducing pneumonia-related morbidity and mortality. They further explain that while pneumonia can affect anyone, certain populations, including young children, the elderly, and individuals with weakened immune systems, are at high risk. Vaccines are central to prevention efforts. Health officials stress the importance of early intervention, noting that antibiotics are effective against bacterial pneumonia, while antiviral medications can help manage viral strains like the flu. However, they emphasize that prompt treatment is essential to avoid complications. Many cases of pneumonia can be effectively treated when caught early. To help reduce the spread of pneumonia-causing bacteria and viruses, health professionals urge the public to practice basic hygiene measures such as frequent hand washing, covering coughs, and avoiding close contact with sick individuals. In addition, quitting smoking and maintaining a healthy lifestyle can strengthen the immune system, reducing susceptibility to respiratory infections.
Away from our in-depth segment of the news, the staff of the Ministry of Public Works today took part in the launch of a new initiative aimed at promoting bilingualism in the workplace. The project, called Linguistic Cafe, encourages employees to improve their language skills in a relaxed and social setting. The ceremony was presided over by the Minister of Public Works, Emmanuel Ngannou Jumessi, as you tell us, Leslie Magni.
In an effort to promote bilingualism within government institutions, the Ministry of Public Works has launched the Linguistic Cafe initiative to create an interactive and relaxed environment where ministry staff can practice and enhance their French and English language skills. The event was chaired by the Minister of Public Works, Emmanuel Ngannou Jumessi, who underscored the vital role of bilingualism in fostering improved communication and collaboration within the ministry. He expressed optimism that the Linguistic Cafe would encourage regular language exchanges, helping employees become more confident in both official languages.
In the Ministry of Public Works, as one of our missions to promote bilingualism and to suggest measures on how to strengthen the bilingual capacity of the ministry's personnel, so here, over a cup of coffee, you can exchange ideas. You can say anything, an intercultural activity too, where we can learn about other cultures. So this is a move that we think is going to help them in Kyrgyzstan to be bilingual.
This project is designed not only to enhance individual language skills, but also to strengthen cohesion, ultimately ensuring more effective service delivery in Cameroon's two official languages. The Linguistic Cafe will feature ongoing sections where staff can engage in language practices, learn and improve, all while enjoying a cup of coffee.
In the meantime, the sum of 2 billion CFA francs will be injected by Skills Initiative for Africa, DOPSIFA, a structure put in place by the African Union for the rehabilitation of the Intensive Vocational Training Center for Industrial Trades in Pitwa, Benue Division of the North Region. The information was disclosed during the first steering committee meeting of the project, chaired by its president, Madame Fochap Isandem Prudence, who doubles as the Secretary General in the Ministry of Employment and Vocational Training. Our reporter, Mercy Ashunyabewa, reports that the steering committee meeting was preceded by a visit to the training center.
It will be a complete overhaul of the infrastructure, training, equipment when real work begins at the Intensive Vocational Training Center for Industrial Trade in Pitwa, Benue Division of the North Region. Madame Gu Fomede Comfort is the project coordinator.
We are going to have existing structures that are going to be modernized. They'll come up with a list of equipment. The third aspect of the project is the development of training programs.
Addressing members at the first ever steering committee meeting at the Pitwa Council, the project coordinator hinted that the center that sits on a surface area of over 10 hectares will churn out 480 trainees in 8 different fields to meet the needs of enterprises.
These traits are mechatronic, hotel management, electricity plumbing, project management.
For now, members of the steering committee, chaired by the president, Madame Focha Ikande Prudence, are busy studying the practical modalities of implementing the 26th month project within the deadline. Financed by Skills Initiative for Africa, SIFA, it was put in place by the African Union, worth 2 billion francs CFA and 1.8 billion from the Cameroon government. The project will be implemented in 2 phases, train 40% women, including trainees from neighboring countries, and expected to be ready for use by October 2026 if the calendar of activities is respected to the latter. Mercy Ashunyabe, CRTV News, Garoua.
Some students of the University of Yaounde won, as well as their peers at the International Relations Institute, IRIC, are being drilled on the need to hold public institutions accountable for their implementation of public policies. This is at separate workshops, which opened at both institutions today, organized by the Cameroon Development Evaluation Association, CADEA, in collaboration with the Ministry of the Economy, Planning and Regional Development, and UNICEF. Karin Kobong reports.
The sensitization caravan of the Cameroon Development Evaluation Association, CADEA, took its good governance campaign to senior university students to amplify the need for young people to participate in questioning public policies through the evaluation of development initiatives. Unfolding under the theme, Evaluation as an Opportunity for Youth Professional Integration, a representative from MINEPAD's General Directorate for Cooperation and Regional Integration, Molu Aminatu, encouraged the students to take the exercise seriously to be able to question the efficiency of the management of resources allocated for public development initiatives. While opening the workshop, the Vice President of the Cameroon Development Evaluation Association, Hortense Ella Menge, expressed the desire of her team in partnership with UNICEF to continue to promote transparency in governance through the evaluation of public policies.
A consultation meeting to evaluate the execution rate of the project for the valorization of investments along the Benue Valley, the Viva Benue, has taken place today in Lagdo. Chaired by the governor of the North Region, Jean Abate D, the meeting for the technical follow-up of the project enabled the experts from the World Bank and the Ministry of the Economy, Planning and Regional Development to assure the administrative and local authorities of the area about the sustainable execution of the project. Maimouna Njoya completes that story.
The technical follow-up mission with stakeholders of the Viva Benue project enabled the governor of the North Region to get to the various sites in Lakdo where hydro-agricultural irrigation and drainage systems are being put in place on a more than 10,000 hectare perimeter to boost agricultural productivity. The impact of this project, financed by the World Bank to the tune of 117 billion CFA francs, is gradually being felt by the local population as it has already provided jobs to many. In the meantime, Governor Jean Abate Edi has prescribed the intensification of work so as to meet up with set objectives and push forward the import substitution vision in Cameroon. This is mainly because the hydroelectric dam in Lagdo positions the North Region amongst the top producers of rice, and besides this, the cultivation of groundnuts, maize, sorghum and onions on larger scales also forms the basis of this project. The consultation with traditional and council officials of the Benue Division at the end of the inspection visit enabled experts of the Viva Benue project to give assurance about its sustainable execution. Reporting from Lagdo, Maimouna Njoya for CRTV News.
Over in the Northwest Region, officials of the Bamenda City Council have attributed the urban disorder along the Commercial Avenue stretch to the nonchalant attitudes of both traders and users, as well as inadequate enforcement by municipal officers. The council authorities have revealed plans to enhance awareness through sensitization campaigns and impose penalties on those who violate regulations. Ola Titanki tells us more.
Commercial Avenue is the main economic center in the city of Bamenda, where there is the main market, financial institutions, and leisure sports. The economic activities along the stretch have become increasingly chaotic, with frequent traffic jams and pickpocketing being among the growing concerns.
The Commercial Avenue street is no longer what it used to be because of disorganization. And the only person that we can blame is the Bamenda City Council.
It has been too congested by hawkers, people who have constructed makeshift business tents. That has given opportunity for pickpocketers.
The director of urban development at the Bamenda City Council, Bertrand Tigo, admits that the measures that have been put in place to instill order is not sufficient.
We have been impounding things on them. Immediately you are leaving, somebody's coming back. Other markets have been created in town. You try to relocate people there so that the main streets should be free. They will rush and come and they are only on the road. It's an issue that we are struggling with.
He urges traders, residents and municipal authorities to collaborate in fostering a more orderly and secure urban environment. Ola Titanki, CRTV News, Bamenda.
Out of the country, tourism is one of the main sources of income for most cities in the town of China. A case in point is the locality of Libo in the Guangzhou province, where the local economy depends mainly on tourism, with statistics indicating that during the first week of October 2024, some 340,000 tourists were recorded. Amos Enyonyaketagbo tells us more from Libo in China.
Call it Guiyang or the city of mountains, forests, with many minority groups. This ancient, once upon a time, Chinese poverty-stricken locality with 600 years of existence is now the center of attraction for many tourists due to its rich cultural diversity, its history of working out of poverty, and the sales of historic items. Chen Ying is a tourist guide in Guiyang.
Qingye ancient town. It's nearly 600 years ago. Old building here and the residence here. The people here still keep some traditional culture. For example, their costume with silver tissue.
While walking through Guiyang, we discovered that pork meat is widely consumed in the locality.
We still eat some pork feet like this because pork feet is a symbol for the best scholar.
Prepared in varied forms, pork meat is a unifying delicacy served by the population in Guiyang, be it the minority or dominant ethnic groups. Guiyang in China, Amos Enonyaket Agbo, CLTV News.
Onto sports, officials of local organizing committee of the 9th edition of the National Games, known as the SIAD, say Yaounde is more than 80% ready to host the event that will run from the 11th to the 21st of December. The Secretary General of the Central Region Governor's Office, Simon Pierre Etil, who represented the governor who doubles as the president of the local organizing committee, made the statement today after they visited 10 infrastructures to host the games. And on to this press release from the Ministry of Finance. The Minister of Finance informs taxpayers under the non-profit organization NPO's tax scheme that, in accordance with the OHADA Uniform Act on the accounting system for non-profit entities, the Directorate General of Taxes, in partnership with the national bodies responsible for accounting and taxation, has implemented new models of statistical and tax returns, STR, specific to NPOs. These new forms are now available on the online platform of the Tax Administration at the following address, www.mpo.cm. To facilitate compliance with tax deadlines, the Minister of Finance invites all NPOs to submit their tax returns for the 2023 fiscal year no later than December 31, 2024, via the said platform. Furthermore, the minister informs the public that the tax administration is actively continuing training sessions dedicated to the use of these new STR models. He strongly encourages NPOs to contact their respective tax offices for any assistance or additional information regarding the implementation of these new provisions. The Minister of Finance reaffirms his commitment commitment to supporting taxpayers in fulfilling their tax obligations and relies on everyone's civic responsibility to ensure compliance. And with that, we call it quits in this edition of the 7 p.m. News, in which you heard that the Senate recommends a bill on local taxation to be tabled during the November session at the opening of the third ordinary session, while aligning the state budget to the aspiration of the Cameroonian people's need was the major recommendation given by the Speaker of the National Assembly as he chairs the opening plenary. Cameroon joins in observing the World Pneumonia Day today on the theme Every Breath Counts, Stop Pneumonia in its track, in that segment of the news focused on the causes and symptoms. In the meantime, all is apparently set for the ninth edition of the National Games this year to take place in Yaoundé from the 11th to the 21st of December this year. The 7 p.m. News is a presentation of Elizabeth Mbombone Agbor.